It says, after the interview with Herod, the wise men went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. They went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This morning, I just want to share with you a few thoughts on these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The whole Christmas gift thing, giving and receiving of gifts, all finds its origin here, actually, where Jesus was presented with these amazing gifts. These wise men, these educated, wealthy men, turn up at Jesus' front door and offer him these gifts and offer him worship. Amazing. And each of those gifts represents something very special. Right now, thousands of Teesiders are in Teesside Park and Stockton and Middlesbrough, all looking for the perfect gift. But actually, you know, as we've heard this morning, the perfect gift is Jesus himself. But this gift of Jesus himself, was given gifts. And in those gifts, they're symbolic of who he was, symbolic of what he came to do, and they're very significant and important. The first gift that Jesus was given was gold, which was the tribute of kings. Gold was what other nations brought that were in subjection to a reigning king. So the Bible says that Solomon, for instance, who was one of the greatest kings that has ever been in human history, made gold common in Jerusalem. So many people, so many nations bought into his government that they brought the gold, so much gold to Jerusalem, they made it common. And Jesus' first gift he was given was gold, because Jesus is a king. Jesus came to reign. Jesus came to take over, take the planet back over for his Father. That's the first thing Jesus came to do. Someone said Jesus didn't come to take sides, he came to take over. Because Jesus is Lord and comes to reign. He's the perfect king. In fact, these wise men in Jerusalem said, we've seen, where's the king that's been born? They knew that this baby was primarily a king. That's who Jesus is and who Jesus should be to us, primarily. You know, a king does three things. First of all, a king reigns and brings government. And a good king will bring peace. Bring government that brings peace. And that's the first thing that Jesus brings into our lives. You know, many, many people's lives fall to bits because of bad government. Because we are sat on the throne of our own lives. We're occupying a throne that doesn't fit. It's hard work being God when you're not God. It's hard work spinning all those plates, keeping everything working, keeping everyone happy, keeping your life together, keeping your health together, keeping your hope up, keeping your relationships. And most people can't do it forever. And plates come crashing down. Relationships break, families break. People get ill. And even when all the plates are spinning at the same time, and for some of us today that might be true, you might be financially secure. You might be in a loving relationship. You might be okay with your kids. Your kids might be not off the rails at the moment. Everything might be fine. But you know what? Even when all those plates are spinning, there's lack of peace inside. There's an emptiness. There's a dis-ease in our hearts because we're occupying a position that isn't ours when we're Lord of our own lives. No, actually, you know, Jesus is Lord, and when we let him be Lord of our lives, he brings incredible peace. He brings incredible good government. Jesus is a good king. He who runs the universe can run your life and your family and your relationships better than you can if you let him. We'd bow our knees and let Jesus be Lord of our lives. A king reigns. The second thing a king did, real kings that actually had authority, kings judged. Kings decided what happened with individuals, with situations, with their own nation. And Jesus is also our judge. I don't know whether you know that, that Jesus himself has said that all the judgment of God has been given to him by his Father. So that at the end of our lives, we're going to stand before God and give account for our life, but that's actually going to be to Jesus. It's amazing, isn't it? Some of us are going to stand before God on the day of judgment and look up and be shocked to see that it's Jesus who will judge. This is an awesome king that deserves our respect. Jesus said, all judgment's been given to the Son so that everyone respects the Son as they do the Father. Because when you know someone is going to judge your life, suddenly your respect for them goes up a little bit. It does. We're all going to stand before Jesus Christ. Actually, if you're a Christian today, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ too. Paul said we're all going to appear before the judgment throne of Christ and receive what's due to us for deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. There's reward, there's punishment, but there's a personal interview for all of us. And if you've become a Christian, of course, it's different. You'll be judged on what you've done with your gifts and talents and what you've done since you came to Christ. But there's an opportunity for us all to stand and give account for our lives. And if that makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, it's meant to. It's so that we respect Jesus as an awesome king. He's a king to whom we have to give account. And you know, Jesus, he is that king. I love that bit in Jesus' trial where Jesus is the prisoner, bloody, beaten up, weak, stood before the great high priest in all of his robes. The high priest is judging Jesus. When if it wasn't so scary, it'd be like comedy, wouldn't it? A man judging Jesus, hilarious. And Jesus, up to now in his trial, has been completely silent. He said nothing to all of the accusations and judgment against him. And it comes to this awesome moment in Jesus' trial where the high priest says, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus breaks the silence and says, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God and coming in the clouds of heaven. Awesome. I am the Son of God, and the next time you see me, I'll be stood there and you'll be stood here. I am, and the next time those eyes see me, I'll be judging you, pal. Didn't say pal, that was mad. But I sort of feel a bit of a pal there, do you? And Jesus, and for that, that's why Jesus went to the cross. Blasphemy! They knew what it meant. Jesus claiming equality with God. Jesus is an awesome king. Don't mess with Jesus. Have you submitted your life to him yet? Have you bowed your knees to him yet? You know, the Bible says that every knee will bow. That means both of yours and mine. Not a little tip of the cap and a genuflection to Jesus. Both knees down. These rich, educated men, when they saw Jesus, even as a baby, they went down. They bowed and worshipped him. Because he's the king. He's the king. The other thing the king did was that he fought. He waged war for you. And the amazing, wonderful thing about Jesus is that he's the king of love. And unlike all other kings who all fought from the back. You've seen those movies, haven't you? The king's on the horse, stood on the hill, miles away from any trouble. Send in the troops. Jesus is the opposite. All other armies work the other way. Protect the king at all costs. Not with Jesus. Jesus protects his people at all costs. At his own cost. Stay here, lads. I'm going in alone. No, sire. We have to protect. No. I'm going alone. Through Jesus' life and death and resurrection, he fought for us. On his own. A battle on his own. Rode into hell and death on his own. To protect us. What a king. Many kings like that. Only one. Jesus. Jesus was given gold because Jesus is the king. And when you let him reign, you have peace. You become right with God. And he reigns to do you good and to save you. The second thing Jesus was given was this, frankincense. Again, which was fascinating. Must have been fascinating for Mary and Joseph. Incense was the stuff of worship. Some of you have been to Russian Orthodox churches and Greek Orthodox churches, or some high Catholic church, and have seen a bit of incense, you know, in the little ball, ching, 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 and it fills the place with smoke, which is symbolic of an amazing fragrance, which is symbolic of worship and prayer and the presence of God. That's what it means. And in these days, it came in a solid block, like a big block of cheese, that you grated over the offering, you grated over the fire, and it filled the temple with what was symbolic of prayer, worship, presence of God. Jesus is king, but Jesus is also God. Jesus is God come to this earth in human form to save us. There's a story of a little boy who was in his upstairs in his house, and he was scared of the dark. And he said to his dad, "Dad, will you come up with me?" And his dad was watching telly, didn't really want to, and he said, "Oh, son, you're all right, don't be scared, don't be scared." And his son said, "Dad, but I don't want to be on my own." And his dad thought for a minute, didn't want to get up from watching the telly, and he said, "Oh, son, you're not on your own. God's with you." And the little boy hesitated for a minute, and then he said, "But Dad, I want somebody with skin on." And you know, Jesus is God with skin on. Jesus is God with skin on. God come to us. God become a man. What an awesome step down. The incarnation, they call it. When God the Son became a man. An irreversible change. I mean, he didn't just zip on flesh. It wasn't a costume. He became a man. He still is. At the right hand of the Father today, there's a man, a real man. The same body that rose from that tomb is at the right hand of the Father. It's Jesus of Nazareth. He's a man. What a step down. What a step close to us, to be near us. A far bigger step down than if I became an ant. Far bigger. For him to become one of us. Amazing. A mystery. But it shows us this, that God loves us and that Jesus wants to be very, very near to us. And he's come close to us to save us, to experience everything we experience. You can't experience anything in your life Jesus hasn't experienced. Jesus did not have an easy life. He didn't. He was called the man of sorrows. It says he was familiar with grief. Well, you think his grief only began in Jerusalem in those last few days. No, can you imagine if you live a sinless life of love, what your life's going to be like as a young boy and as a young teenage man and as a perfect young man? No, Jesus was familiar with rejection and suffering and sorrow. He knows what it is to be human at our weakest and worst. And Jesus has come very, very near to us so that we can connect to him. How tragic if Jesus is this close and you miss him. He's so close to you now. He's a breath away. He's in this room with us while I speak. He is. He really is. One little prayer, one sincere prayer from your heart, and he'll enter in and save your life and change your life. He's available to you. I had a friend once who was going through a really difficult time. Jimmy Phillips, some of you might know him, a guy from Middlesbrough. And he was brought up in the sort of Catholic tradition, and one of his real sort of heroes or heroines of his life was Mother Teresa. I mean, you know, everyone respects Mother Teresa. And he was going through this terrible time in his life, and I had this idea, which to me was just a mad idea, to ring Mother Teresa and ask her for prayer. I mean, it's just mad, isn't it? It's like me saying, "Oh, I must mention this to Billy Graham." I mean, it's just, it doesn't happen. But he did. He rang up. He got the number of the home of the Sisters of Charity in Calcutta and rang this number. And this is the truth. This is what happened. The phone rings. Ring, ring, ring. That's how it rings in Calcutta. Ring, ring. The phone eventually gets picked up. He says, "Hello, I'm from England. I mean, it's a stupid thing to ask. I wonder if I could speak to Mother Teresa." The voice on the other end of the phone said, "Yes, this is Mother." He said, "No, I'm wondering if I could speak to Mother Teresa of Calcutta." She said, "Yes, this is Mother." And because her English was good, you know, it was good. And he sort of paused for a minute as it dawned on him he was speaking to Mother Teresa. And actually he was. You know, Mother Teresa never let herself become a celebrity. She lived like everyone else in that home. And if the phone rang while she was walking down the corridor, she'd take the call. She was available. She picked up that phone, and he sort of became a bit emotional as he realised who he was speaking to, and then said to her, "Mother, my name's Jimmy, and I'm from England. I'm going through a really hard time in life. I wonder, would you pray for me?" And she said, "I will, Jimmy. I'll remember you today." That's what she said. And he thanked her and went. You know what? When I heard that, it just blew me away. I thought, Jesus is like that. Jesus was never a celebrity on earth. He never allowed himself to get put behind secretaries or anybody. Jesus was totally available to anyone and everyone. If he was in this room walking through and you said his name, he'd stop. And he'd say to you the very thing that Mother Teresa said to Jimmy. I forgot to tell you. She said, "What would you like me to pray for you?" And he told her, and she said, "I'll remember you today." Gee, that was a famous sentence of Jesus. People said his name, he'd stop and say, what would you like me to do for you? Jesus was available to everyone. Rich, poor, rejected, famous, whoever. Jesus is totally available to you. He's God with skin on, here, now, a prayer away. As soon as you open your heart, he enters in. You don't have to go through anyone to get to Jesus. He's right here, right next to you. And lastly, you know this, Jesus, and this is the most significant for us, Jesus was given this gift of myrrh, which was a bit of a shocker for probably everyone there, because myrrh was used for one thing and one thing only, and that was to bury the dead. I mean, can you imagine, ladies, you have a little baby, and people bring these gifts. I mean, it's not the gift you want to get, is it? You know, I've brought you some balloons, some chocolates, and a tombstone. Thanks. I mean, it's just not pleasant. It said something. And Mary, you know, was never allowed to forget from early days that a sword would pierce her own soul. And the tremendous privilege of raising Jesus was also going to be balanced out with tremendous suffering and sorrow. That this child was born to die. That his purpose of coming was to save the world. And only through his bloodshed could the world be saved. That's a hard thing for a mother to hear. But she did hear it over and over. Because it was so true. Jesus is not only king. He's not only God. Because actually neither of those could save me. Jesus is also saviour. And only through the shedding of his blood can we be forgiven and saved. Jesus lived a perfect life, but it can't save me because I haven't lived a perfect life. Jesus' teachings are unparalleled. They're marvelous, but they can't save me because I can't live up to them. Only through Jesus' blood shed on the cross can we hope to be saved. And when we trust in him, when we sincerely call out to him for salvation, there's this amazing exchange takes place. And that perfect life of Jesus goes into my account. And all my failings and sins are passed over to him. That's what it means to be a Christian and to be saved. Only through his death. Amazing. Only that can save us and get rid of our sins. All of us have sinned. I love that that letter that was sent into the paper, letters to Santa. And there was this little one that went like this. "Dear Santa, in our family there are three brothers, Brian, Sammy and Norman. Brian is good some of the time. Sammy is good some of the time. Norman is good all of the time. I am Norman. No, he isn't. And neither are you. And neither am I. There are no Normans who are good all of the time. We're all sinners. We all need forgiveness. Many times a day, that's the truth. And only through Jesus is that sin removed. He's the only one who can take away your sins and give you a really white Christmas. Only Jesus can do that. You know, when you've got a big family, one of the big issues at Christmas is rubbish. And before the days of wheelie bins, a couple of years ago in Teesside, this Christmas I counted our rubbish bags. Because you've got to time it with the bin men at Christmas, haven't you? If you make a mistake, you've had it, you know. And the way the bin men, the days the bin men were coming, all right, I counted, we had 33 full bin bags. And I started putting them out around the lamppost, leaning them up the lamppost outside. And I just got it so embarrassed. You know, everyone else, little piles, nice little piles up the street. I just thought, this looks ridiculous. I was frightened they wouldn't take them. So, it's confession time. Under the cover of darkness, I grabbed our rubbish and took it up the street and dumped it on everyone else's. Felt like the Grinch. Merry Christmas. Oh, look, there's that nice Christian man. What are you looking at? That's the truth. But can you imagine what would happen if the bin man never came? Imagine what this country would be like if the bin man never came. Sarah, what would you do? You'd have to get creative with your rubbish. You'd have to start digging your garden up and burying it. And you know what? We laugh, but this is exactly what people do with guilt. With the real rubbish, the real toxic stuff of our life. What, do you think it just goes somewhere? It goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. And when you bury it, it becomes infested with, it becomes very toxic and unclean. And that's often, again, why people break down in life. Because they're carrying a massive amount of rubbish. What a lovely feeling, isn't it? When you hear the bin wagon go, and you get up and open the curtains. And it's all gone. Some of us need to experience that in our souls, emotionally, in our conscience. Some of us have forgot how good it is to have a clean conscience, to be like a little child again, forgiven, white, and know it. Do you know what? That's what Jesus came to do, more than anything else. He came to be our King, He came to be our God, and He came to be our Saviour. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you this morning that you are indeed all of those. And we want to respond to you now, Lord. We want to experience your forgiveness for all the things we've done wrong. We want to worship you because you are God. And we want to let you have the reins of our life and control, Lord. And we want you to be Lord of our lives. I pray that for me, but I know I can't truly pray it for everyone here. We can only pray it ourselves. I wonder if you'd like to pray this now. Well, if you do, you need to pray it now yourself. He needs to hear your voice in your own heart. Pray this. I can make him my king. I can't make him yours. But you can, right now. Why don't you do that now? Why don't you invite him in right now? Ask his forgiveness. He's absolutely available to you right now. You know, for some of you, he's saying, what would you like me to do for you? What would you really like me to do for you? Because I'd love to do it for you. Let me do it for you. And Lord Jesus, you know every heart in this room. You know every life. You know who sincerely opened their hearts to you in these moments and invited you in. And Jesus, we want to thank you that you have entered in. And we pray for them, Lord Jesus, that this would be a Christmas like they've never experienced. They would know you personally. They would know your Holy Spirit. They would know what it is to be forgiven, to have a new start. And they'd really let you be king. and begin to follow you and worship you as you deserve. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer today from your heart, then you won't need to tell the person who brought you. You know, I prayed that prayer for the first time. I opened my heart to Jesus, I asked Jesus to be my king. You be courageous and tell the person who brought you, and they will help you. They'll direct you and give you more information to help you keep walking with Jesus. Amen.